Well, happy Easter, everybody. You made it. Come and cheer. Way to go. You know, and I have my, we're going to do something fun here. We're going to have a little audience participation. This is a tradition here at Valley Church. On Easter, we play this crazy game called the Or Game. I'm going to give you a couple of choices. And today's theme is, which one of these two lights you up the most, gets you more stoked, launches you forward? And to help me, I have my lovely assistant, my dear wife, the awesome Ruth Steve. Give it up. All right. So the first choice before you, which one stokes you up more, launches you forward? Walking into the smell of sizzling bacon or finding your keys after looking for them forever? Let's hear for bacon. Let's hear for keys. All right, next. Which stokes you up more, hitting a bunch of green lights in a row or
finding money in a pocket?
All right. Green lights, let's hear ya. Money in the pocket. Okay, guess we know that one. Okay, so which launches you forward more? Getting in a line just before it gets really, really long, or when you maneuver through an automatic closing door just in the nick of time and it makes you feel like Tom Cruise or Indiana Jones, right? Okay, let's hear it for getting in a line before it gets long. Let's hear it for maneuvering through the automatic door. All right, here's one. How about that one?
All right, fixing electronics by smacking them.
All right. Or when your windshield wipers are to the exact beat of the music you're listening to on the radio. Baby, you're a firework, right? Okay. Let's hear it for smacking electronics. Let's hear windshield wipers. All right, here's another choice. Winning your March Madness bracket or on Easter weekend seeing somebody walk who shouldn't be able to walk, the awesome Ruth Steve. I'm not even gonna let you vote on that one, all right? But guys, here's the thing. So Ruth and I have been away for a little bit, and now we're back, and we've been here for a few weeks, and Ruth has been doing great. For those of you who don't know, our story is about a year and a half ago, Ruth was diagnosed with bone cancer. About a year and a half ago, she had a large tumor and her entire right pelvis removed. She's cancer-free today. That is awesome. And what's remarkable is after 10 months in a wheelchair and a walker, Ruth, on Thursday, you went back to Iowa City and just for some checkups. They hadn't seen her for 3 months. And when the nurse of the orthopedic surgeon saw her walking toward her, she screamed, "You're walking." She ran toward her. She burst into tears. She hugged her. And she told her, "You know, in all the years I've been a nurse for this orthopedic surgeon, there's only one other person who's had this surgery and ever been able to walk again." Ruth, are you ready to do it?
I'm ready.
All right, let's see you do it. All right, we'll take those away. Give it up for the awesome Ruth Steve, all right? All right, dear, here you go. Take it easy, all right? It is exciting, and guys, in your chair there's that little piece of paper. It's actually a paper airplane, and I want you to take this paper airplane and kind of fold it. You do it now or later or whatever you want to do, but it's a little memento of the day. Take a look at the directions card there with it too. It shows you how to do it. Put your name on it, and as you leave today, there'll be some team members out there with hula hoops outdoors. You can test throwing it through. We've had a lot of people have fun with that, but the more important thing is your little airplane represents today on Easter the potential of a launch forward for you. After so many setbacks in the last 12 months, how many of you guys are ready for a launch forward, all right? We're ready, yeah, let's do it. All right, so it's Easter weekend. We celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the ultimate launch forward. He was dead on the cross, buried, but on the third day he rose again, and it's amazing. And there's a lot of, Jesus made many resurrection appearances. He appeared to the women at the tomb, to the disciples, to Peter, to John, to doubting Thomas, to over 500 people at once. But there's one resurrection appearance that I think gets no respect. It's like it's overlooked. And it is the resurrection appearance when the risen Jesus first appeared to a persecutor of the church, to a Pharisee on a road to ancient Damascus. And the resurrected Jesus appeared to an angry young man named Saul of Tarsus. We know him today as the Apostle Paul. So to launch forward today, we're actually going to go backward in time, all right? So we're going to get in our time machine. All right, you Marty McFlys, you ready? Climb in the DeLorean. Doc, set the timer back to AD 35. We're going back to Jerusalem and then on to Damascus, what is modern day Syria. You can read all about this, by the way, in the book of the Bible called the Book of Acts, which is a record of the early church. And it's in Acts chapter 9. Jesus has been resurrected from the dead. He's appeared to many witnesses. He's ascended into heaven. He's sent the Holy Spirit. And he's also sent his church on a mission to make this good news known to as many people as possible. And I'm telling you guys, the church was on a roll. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people are putting their faith and hope in Jesus Christ, the risen Savior. But it seems like nothing could go wrong. But then the unthinkable happens to one of the best and brightest of the young followers of Jesus. His name was Stephen. The scripture says he had the face of an angel. He shared the good news of Jesus in front of the Sanhedrin, the ruling council, the religious leaders of his day. But they didn't like what they heard, him testifying of Jesus. And the crowd turned against him. And an angry mob marched him out to the rock of execution. They surrounded him. They picked up stones and they threw these rocks and stones at him and stoned him to death. And as he was being stoned to death, he looked up to heaven and said, I see the Son of Man standing at the right hand of the Father. And then he said, Lord, do not hold this sin against them, with his very last breath. And then he dies, Stephen, the first Christian martyr, in a pool of his own blood. And over at the side is a young up-and-comer Pharisee by the name of Saul. And the cloaks have been laid down at his feet because they removed their garments to be able to throw harder and faster. He's in charge of this execution. That's why he's overseeing it. And he sees this execution and he applauds it. He says, way to go. Good job. He hands them their cloaks back. He says, good job, good job. It's a dirty job, but somebody has to do it. And so Saul then of Tarsus goes ballistic against the early movement of Jesus. He starts a house-to-house hunt to hunt down Christians. He's losing it. Saul has just gone cray-cray on us, all right? He's just going after everybody. And everybody, if you're a Jesus follower, you've heard the name Saul of Tarsus. He is a bad man. And pretty much, he's terrorized them enough that pretty much all the Jewish Christians, except the apostles, flee Jerusalem. They have to get out because of Saul of Tarsus. But here's the amazing thing. They didn't keep quiet. They didn't keep their mouths shut. They go to Judea and to Samaria and even way up north to Damascus, far away. And wherever they go, they're sharing the good news of Jesus. They're gossiping the gospel of Christ. And this Jesus movement, well, it just keeps growing and rolling strong. So come with me to Acts chapter 9, and now hear the rest of the story. Now Saul was still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. Saul wants nothing more than to run up the score of more executions. He went to the high priest and requested letters from him to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any men or women who belonged to the way, he might bring them as prisoners to Jerusalem. He's essentially a bounty hunter. That's what he is right now. This guy's on a rampage. It's just blind fury now. But I do believe that there are some things swirling in the back of the mind of Saul of Tarsus. What's swirling there is some things that he couldn't really understand, especially when he saw that execution and those stones, and when he saw the face of an angel, Stephen, saying, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. He really had no explanation for that kind of love, no explanation for that kind of forgiveness. But he buries those doubts, he buries those swirling questions, and he turns them into rage, violent, angry opposition. Verse 3, and as he traveled and was nearing Damascus, Saul is on a manhunt. By the way, you can still take the road to Damascus from Jerusalem. It's out there. It's a 6-day journey by foot or on a donkey or horse. He's with an entourage of both brains and brawn. There's the scholars like Saul, and then there's the soldiers. It's a mixture of smarts and muscle, and they're out to hunt down these early believers. And in the midst of his anger, his fury against the church, in the midst of all of that, out of a clear blue sky, Saul of Tarsus is about to experience a totally unexpected, extremely sudden, and completely life-altering launch forward. A light from heaven suddenly flashed around him. Falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" The light flashes, he falls down. It's God's smackdown right now, okay? And then the voice is pretty terrifying, actually, guys. And Saul doesn't know what to think about it, but it begins to put the pieces together. It begins now to understand, oh my, could this be? So he wants to buy a little time, and he asks a question. "Who are you, Lord?" Saul said. And then he hears the words he could not have imagined. "I am Jesus. I am Jesus whom you are persecuting." This is all time, guys. This is prime time. This is the epic moment. It is a turning point in human history. Because this persecutor of the church, his preconceived notions are completely obliterated. He now begins to realize that he is in error, that everything he thought about Jesus was false, that everything he's been doing is wrong. And it suddenly hits him when he hears, "I am Jesus." He says to himself, "Oh my, what in God's name have I been doing?" He's just absolutely thunderstruck. And in one moment, Saul was shattered beneath the love and the mercy of Jesus. In another place where Saul in the scriptures tells this story, reflecting on this Damascus Road experience, he says one other sentence that Jesus said to him. He says, Jesus said to him, "Saul, it's hard for you to kick against the goads." It's hard for you to kick against the goads. What does he mean by that? Well, a goad is a little prod that you might prod an animal in the kind of the back legs, the hindquarters there, to get them to move in a different direction, or get them to move a little faster. And Saul has been kicking against those goads. He instead of responding to them, he's kicked against them and gotten more violent, more hostile in his reaction. What were the goads? Well, I already mentioned, I think one of the goads was the death of Stephen. Another was those lingering questions about Jesus. The empty tomb. I mean, he's bought into the standard explanation, the disciples stole his body, but there's a doubt there. And those goads were going against him and what he had heard and learned of the message of Jesus. Another one of the goads was how believers in Jesus reacted when they were arrested, when they were put in prison, and even when they were executed. He just had no explanation for that kind of love and forgiveness, no explanation for that kind of hope and even joy in the midst of death. He could not believe it. He could not understand it. And he kicked against it. But notice how Jesus speaks to him when he says this. It's very, very tender. He doesn't scold him. He doesn't lecture him. He actually says it very tenderly. He says, "Saul, it's hard for you. This has been hard for you to kick against the goats." And Jesus, in his indescribable love, met Saul right where he was and surrounds him with inexpressible, glorious light. And now he has more direction for him. Verse 6, "Get up and go into the city now, Saul, and you will be told what you must do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the sound but seeing no one. Saul got up from the ground and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. It was not a blindness of darkness. It was a blindness of light. The light was just overpowering everything. So they took him by the hand and led him into Damascus. And he was unable to see for 3 days and did not eat or drink. He's just seen the risen Jesus. And now what does he experience? Three blind nights. See how he runs. Okay, yeah, he walks into Damascus. And guys, this was Paul's alpha moment. Alpha means beginning. It's the first letter of the Greek alphabet. It is Saul's alpha moment. It's the beginning of his new journey. It began with opposition and struggle and anger and questioning. But then God began to move him to discovery and awakening and new direction. And on this Easter weekend, I want to ask everybody here, could it be, first principle, could it be that God is calling you here today to experience your alpha moment? Your alpha moment. Maybe you are at the brink of your alpha moment. Maybe there's been a restlessness in your heart. Maybe you've been questioning, even been angry about some stuff, but just wondering about spiritual matters. Maybe you've been hostile. Maybe you've kicked a little bit. But then you begin to question yourself. Maybe you begin to listen more. Maybe you begin to doubt your own doubts about Christianity and about Jesus. And you find that God seems to be starting to pursue you now. And light starts popping up in your life. There's this conversation. There's this person who's been kind to you as a follower of Jesus. That there's this book you've read or this thing you've heard. And God just is popping up in light in conversations you can't really explain. In strangest places. And you feel like you've been searching. And you're at the brink of discovery and awakening and something that could actually revolutionize your life. And if you're at that moment, can I encourage you today to step into that moment? To not step back from it, but to lean into it. This is your alpha moment when you're willing to let down your guard and say, well, God is trying to say something to me and I'm now willing to listen. I hope you'll step into that alpha moment if that's you. And by the way, here at Valley Church, we actually have a course called Alpha. It's a place where believers in Jesus come together with people who are skeptics and explorers and doubters, and they see an incredible film, a short film, and then they either online or around a table in person have questions and discussion, and it's respectful and it's safe. And even if you're not a believer yet, you're allowed to ask questions, express doubts, even express objections to the things you've heard. And you're in a safe place where people will show you kindness and befriend you. If you're willing to do that, it starts up in just a week. I'd love to invite you to step into that alpha course and into your alpha moment. But let's keep moving, all right? Enter a new character in the story, a man named Ananias. And this Ananias man is a follower of Jesus. He's a Jewish man, very godly, and he has not the slightest inkling of what has happened to Saul. Doesn't know a thing. Verse 10, there was a disciple in Damascus. And by the way, you can still go to Damascus. It's the oldest continuously inhabited city in the world. And he goes, this disciple in Damascus is named Ananias. And the Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias, here I am, Lord. And the Lord replies to him and gives him some instructions. Let's look at it. Verse 11. Get up, check, and go, got it, to the street, got it, called Straight. By the way, you can still go to the street called Straight in Damascus. It's still there today. The Lord said to him, okay, to the house of Judas, got it, and ask for a man, okay, from Tarsus, yeah, named Saul. No. I've heard about this guy. He's not a good person. He's praying there. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias, that would be you, bro, coming in and placing his hands on him so that he may regain his sight. Verse 13, Lord, Ananias answered, I have heard from many people about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. This is a bad man. He is bad news. He is not a good person. Moreover, he has authority here from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name. All here in Damascus who call on your name. And Lord, I am one of those in Damascus who call on your name. So that means I'm on his wanted list. He's after me. This is a bad man. He's dangerous. I shouldn't go there. No way. He says, Lord, I'm with Taylor Swift on this one. Saul, I knew you were trouble when you walked in. Trouble. He says, no, I'm not going there. The Lord said to him, go, for this man is my chosen instrument to take my name to the Gentiles, kings, and Israelites, and I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Here's God's incredibly startling plan. And it also shows the incredible sense of humor that God has. Because what he says here is, guess what I'm going to do, Ananias? I'm going to take the biggest, the baddest anti-Christian persecutor of all time, and I'm going to transform him into my number one spokesperson for the ages. He's going to write half the books of the Bible that's going to come up. You're not going to believe this guy, but it's not going to be easy. He's going to suffer a lot. You see, Saul, he's been dishing it out, but now he's going to be taking it some. You know what? He's going to do it willingly. In fact, Saul is going to love it. Love it till the day he dies. But it won't be easy. Read the next six words because they are prime time. Ananias went and entered the house. In spite of all the fears and dangers and trouble that lurked, he walks in. He goes in. That's a bold faith move. We talk here at Valley Church a lot about bold faith moves. Have you ever walked into something that God has called you to do and it's scary and you're not certain, but you believe that's what God wants you to do? That's a bold faith move. So today, especially for your veteran Christ followers who've been at this for a while, the question here is, second principle, is it time for you to be bold in faith for what's next? Are you open for how God wants you to use you to advance his cause in this world? Are you willing to listen? Are you willing to follow him, to follow his lead, even if it's a bit of a stretch like it was for Ananias? This could be your Ananias moment. This Easter, maybe God wants to show up in your life the way he did to Ananias. He wants you to love somebody who's really hard to love, or take a chance on somebody who seems so far gone and far away, or befriend an outsider who has been hostile to the faith, or forgive somebody who has opposed you left and right, or that guy at work, or that woman in the neighborhood, or that family member who's been driving you nuts. Is today the day that God, or someday in the near future, God will call you to a bold faith move? Will you take that bold step? Maybe he's got a kingdom assignment for you. He wants you to be willing to volunteer, to give your time, to get more involved, to join us in loving our community, the city of Des Moines, to be more generous, to serve more. I don't know what it will be, but will you step in with that bold step? Maybe he wants you to be that Ananias in some Saul's life who's willing to come to them and invite them and enter the house, as it were, and invite them. Maybe you'd invite them to Alpha with you in a week. Wouldn't that be amazing? Let's keep going. He placed his hands. Now Ananias enters the house. He places his hands on him. This is the man who has what? Killed his friends and has come to arrest and imprison more believers in hopes that they can also be executed. But he places his hands on him and says two incredible words. Brother Saul. Brother Saul. The Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road you were traveling, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now Saul, he has no idea who this guy is. He has no idea he's coming. He just comes into the house and some random guy puts his hands on you and starts praying for you. That's weird, all right? At once, something like scales fell from his eyes and he regained his sight. Saul regained his sight, not just physically, but spiritually, because at this moment, what's happening, guys, is all the pieces are coming together. Everything is making sense now. It's all come together. Everything that he's been told about Jesus is true. Now he realizes it, and now he sees, and now he believes. He comes from a persecutor to a believer. It's a total spiritual 180. He goes from blindness to sight. And I got to tell you, guys, in all the history of the Christian church, this has to be the most unlikely convert of all time. I mean, it's just amazing that this happens. And so my question for you today, is God putting his hand on you? And is he calling you to take your first step into God's light? Because now Saul can see again, and maybe God's calling you. He wants to take away the blinders from your eyes, and you're willing to step into the light for the first time. Here is the moment. When you cross the line of faith, you've been thinking about it. You've been walking through it. You've been asking questions, and now God is calling you. What better time than Easter weekend to cross that line of faith, to take your first step into the light, just like Saul did? If God is calling you to do that, don't be afraid. What he's calling you to do is something actually fairly simple, and that is not to come to God and say, please forgive me, here's my impressive list of works that I can present to you, or my spiritual resume. No, he asks you to come to him with all that laid to the side. All your things you've done in your past, the guilt and shame of it all, he just asks you to come and lay that at the foot of the cross. Because there, Jesus died on the cross for sinners like me and like you. And he says, you know what? If you do that, he not only died for you, he lives for you. He'll be with you every single moment of your life for the rest of your life and into eternity. And here's what will happen. If you cross that line, if you will take that step into the light, here's what God promises to do. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, he promises to what? Forgive you of all your sins, wipe them clean. The slate is totally clean. Then he says, I'm going to pour my Holy Spirit into you. That's what he did for Saul. He pours his spirit. Now God is actually living within you. And now he begins to transform you from the inside out. He gives you new desires, new passions, new priorities, and new power to actually carry out this transformation that God has for you. More than that, he calls you into a new community who will help you and walk you through it. More than that, he will call you his own son or his own daughter. You're adopted into the family of God. And after all of that, guess what he does? He calls you one day home into an eternity of joy and peace in the presence of God in a new heavens and a new earth. Guys, it just doesn't get any better than that. Who wouldn't want to step into that? Who wouldn't want to step into that light? I urge you and plead with you today, step into the light. No better time than Easter weekend to do that. All right? Take that step into the light. That's what Saul did. And then he made it public and official. This Pharisee and persecutor of the church is dropping everything behind. And it's not just forward. It's not just launch forward. It's fast forward. All right? Look what it says. Then Saul got up and was baptized. Whoa. He goes from discovery to commitment. He goes from private faith to public faith. He goes from believing to proclaiming his faith in Jesus. And get this. Ananias probably takes Saul down to the river, which is still right there near Straight Street, and then he takes a dip in the river and is baptized as a brand new believer in Jesus Christ. Wouldn't that be awesome? So maybe the fourth step today is that God's calling you to take the plunge into baptism. Have you ever publicly declared your faith in Jesus through baptism? We'll be having our next baptism very soon, and I'd love for you to be a part of that. That's some step that God's calling you to. It's not an insignificant part of your spiritual journey. It's an important thing. And you may feel like, that's really out there. But let me tell you, it's not nearly as out there as it was for Saul. I mean, here is the guy who's a persecutor of the church and saying it's all wrong to publicly declare in baptism that it's all true. I mean, can you imagine? He goes for the people that were expecting him to come in to persecute Christians. He comes in and he goes from persecutor to baptized believer. Wee doggy. Can you imagine what his Pharisee friends are going to think of him when they find this out? He is going to be in hot water with them. But look. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul was with the disciples in Damascus for some time. Immediately he began proclaiming Jesus in the synagogues. He is the Son of God. Can you imagine this? I mean, you've heard this Saul of Tarsus who's been putting believers, Christians, in jail. And he's come to Damascus, and the synagogue's full because they can't wait to hear this guy. He's going to come down hard on these followers of Jesus. He's going to give some hellfire and brimstone message about how Jesus is an imposter, Jesus is a fraud, Jesus is not the Messiah, and instead he gets up and says, Jesus is the Son of God. Wouldn't that have been a shocker of all time? Look what it says. And all who heard him were astounded and said, isn't this a man in Jerusalem who is causing havoc for those who called on this name and came here for the purpose of taking them as prisoners to the chief priests? And now he's one of them. But Saul just grew stronger and kept confounding the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Messiah. Here's the last and final step. Maybe God is calling you to launch forward for spiritual growth. Because Saul started learning. He started growing. He became a part of the community. He found his gift. He found his voice. He started making a difference. Now, you may not be called to be a missionary or a preacher like Saul, but God wants you to get into community and to start growing. Maybe you've been on the fringe of Valley Church just a little bit. And maybe it's time to launch forward, to get more connected, more involved, and launch into some spiritual growth. Okay, guys, so let's take this and let's literally land this plane, all right? So I want you to take this is launch forward. And you can do three things with this little paper airplane and with this message. You can take this plane and this message, take it home, wad it up, throw it in the trash, and forget it ever happened. You can take this little paper, fold it, it's nice, you agree with it, you put it on your fridge, and it just hangs there, and you do nothing with it. You can do that with this message as also. Or maybe you could take this paper airplane, fold it, and then let it fly and let it soar. And you could take this message and let it do the same in your life. So that's what I encourage you to do. Can I fly it right now? I don't know how far it's going to go. I've had mixed success. Okay, let's do it, all right? There we go. All right. That is a launch forward. So guys, I want you to get out your cell phone, okay? Okay, take out your cell phone. And I'm going to give you five words. I'm going to give you a number there, 515-644-1021. And I want you to text just one of the next five words that are on the screen, just one of them. I promise you, if you text this to this number, I will not stalk you. I will not come to your home. I will not visit you, okay? But you will get an auto reply and with some helpful things of next steps you may consider, all right? Text one of the following words. First word is alpha. Alpha. If this is your alpha moment, when you're saying, I'm moving from questioning and doubting to maybe exploring and considering, give us that word alpha. Text that word alpha, and maybe you'll be able to join us in a week from today for our alpha course. I'd urge you to take that step. Maybe some of you, you're ready to take the first step and you actually want to step into the light. Text the word light. If today you want to take your first step of believing in Jesus and say, this is my day, Easter Sunday, 2021, I'm stepping into the light. I'm actually want to become a follower of Jesus Christ. I want to believe in him. I want to believe in his finished work on the cross. I believe he was raised from the dead. And for the first time in your life, this is your moment. Text light to that number. Some of you may text the word baptism. You're like, I was stirred by that, and I feel like I'd like to explore baptism to publicly declare my faith. Text baptism. Maybe some of you will say, you know, I've been on the fringe, but now I want to get more involved. I want to get more connected. I want to serve more, whatever it might be. Text the word growth. That's your word. And then the last word I will give to you is the word bold. That's for some of you who say, you know, I'm up for a challenge. I'm up for hearing from God, listening to God, either today or some near day in the future when he calls me to a bold faith move. Text bold. God will have you. He has everything you will ever need. Guys, I conclude with this. Easter is all about the launch forward. First, there was Jesus who was executed on a cross, but he launched forward into glorious resurrection life on the third day. And then there was Saul. First, he was a violent persecutor and rebel. And then he launched forward to become an amazing servant of Jesus. And today, on this Easter weekend, maybe for you, it's a launch forward. Maybe for you, it'll be a launch forward like it was for me. 18 years old, selfish, a smart alecky skeptic who heard the message and said, I believe it's real. I believe you're true, Jesus. And I'm all in. I'm convinced. And I want to follow you and I want to live for you for the rest of my life. Maybe for some of you, you've been abused by somebody or neglected by somebody. And today you want to launch forward into a new life to realize that you are loved and accepted by God, no matter what others have said or done. And you want to step forward into that, launch forward into that. Maybe for years you've been addicted to something and you'd like a new beginning. And you'd like to launch forward into years in the future of freedom and new joy and peace. Maybe you've been angry. You've just been really angry for a while. And you've had very little peace. Maybe today you'd like to launch forward and say, I'd like to be less angry and have a lot more peace. Maybe you felt isolated, lost, or unwanted. And today you want to launch forward and experience what it means to be wanted, accepted, welcomed as a daughter of the living God, as a son of the living God. All of that and more is there for all of us, that launch forward. And all it takes for us to do that is to do exactly what Saul did on that resurrection morning on the Damascus Road for him when he met the risen Jesus. That is when he heard the words, three words, I am Jesus. And he believed and he followed. Lord Jesus, we come to you today and I pray that you will speak into the hearts of every single person here how you want to launch them forward on this Easter weekend. Fill their hearts, fill us with your spirit, work in every heart. We glorify the name of Jesus, who's not a dead Savior, but a living and reigning and soon coming King. And all God's people agreed and said, amen, amen. Amen. On your feet, everybody. Happy Easter. God bless you all.